There's two texts this evening. And so first, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12. And then when you've found that, when you got that, put your finger there and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Now, I promised Pastor Schroeder that I'm not going to step too much on his territory that he's preaching in the morning service, but I want to take a look at some of the verses here this evening. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse 9 and 10. So make sure you have your thumb there, and then you can flip back over. We'll start in the Corinthians passage and read the Galatians passage second. So hear now the reading of God's Word and give attention to it. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 12. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. And this is now the section that I will focus in on this evening, verses 5 through 12. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. And now flip over to Galatians chapter 6. And I will read just verse 9 and verse 10. This too is the word of God. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Thus, for the reading of God's Word, please be seated. And let us go to the throne of grace and ask God's blessing upon His Word this evening. Please, again, pray with me. Our Lord and our God, where would we be if not for You? How thankful we are that Christ did interpose His precious blood on our behalf. Father, how grateful we are and how grateful we long to be in Your Spirit for what You have done. And thus, Lord, as we just sang, we ask now that You would lead us in Thy righteousness and that You would teach us Your ways and that You would guide us in gratitude as we live in light of the gospel. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is true, and we thank You that You have given it to us as supernatural revelation. And Father, we come to it this evening knowing that we can only understand it rightly with Your Holy Spirit and with His aid. And so we ask, Father, that You would illuminate to our hearts and to our minds, and that You would once again feed us on Your Word. And we ask this in Christ's name. And for His sake, amen. Well, this evening is a bittersweet time for Rebecca and I. We leave tomorrow for Nebraska, and today, this Lord's Day, is our last here in Southern California, and thus it is our last time with you all worshiping at Harvest OPC for now. So there is a definite sadness that we feel this evening, for we've been so blessed to have become members here and to have enjoyed your fellowship and for God's providence in allowing me to intern here. And we've been richly edified by the worship and by you all, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as I was reminiscing with Rebecca this week about our time here and about all of the good things that have gone on and of all of God's blessings that he has bestowed here at this church and how we'll be sad to leave and yet we're anxious to get to the next thing, I was really encouraged by the scriptures in this way. I started reading the beginnings and endings of Paul's letters in the New Testament, and I was amazed at just how many hellos and goodbyes there are in the New Testament, and not just in the New Testament, but in the whole of Scripture, in the Old Testament as well. And more than just hellos and goodbyes, I was struck by all the marching orders, as it were, that is given in the Scriptures by Paul, and again in the whole of Scripture. What I mean by marching orders is that Paul is always telling someone to go somewhere, and he's telling another person to go there, and such is on his way to such and such a place. Paul is coming and going, and he's also sending people elsewhere to come and go. And he also tells the churches everywhere, all of his letters, he's telling the churches about the other churches. He's giving reports of the saints elsewhere and how the church of Christ is praying for one another and completely united together in the gospel. And it became clear to me that the church is quite a mobile group. And if it was so mobile in ancient Near Eastern times and also in New Testament times, how much more now? They didn't have quite the travel methods that we do today, yet it was such a mobile group. Paul traveled all over the world in his day by foot and boat and other older means. And so it is today, though, that the church is coming and going. And the church is active. And being active, it must necessarily be mobile, because the church is a people on mission. And it's also a people in development, as it were. We are being sanctified. We're a people on the way to our heavenly home. So I wanted to look at these two New Testament texts this evening in order to examine, on this eve of our departure, looking at the purpose of Paul's travel plans and at the role of the church to those who travel, and also to the perseverance the church is called to have in their well-doing, in their good works. So we come here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And the letter to Corinthians, Paul is writing to this newly established church in Corinth, and he's seeking to correct some major problems. Throughout the letter of Corinthians, both 1st and 2nd, we see that the church was involved in all kinds of sins, quite egregious sins that Paul is seeking to correct. And so at times in the letter to Corinthians, Paul is necessarily quite explicit, and he's very appropriately stern with the saints at Corinth because of these problems. Yet, Paul, time and again, we learn that Paul was very thankful to God for the Corinthians. He says that in chapter 1, verse 8. He says at the very end of the book, in verse 24, that he has a very deep personal affection for them. He says, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." And elsewhere in the letter, we learn that Paul's intent in writing to the Corinthians is very well intentioned. He writes to them because he loves them, and he wants them to be sanctified in Christ. He wants them to be built up into a marvelous dwelling place unto the Lord. And so time and again in this letter, even though he's being stern, and even though he's dealing with pretty hefty problems, he appeals to them as brothers and sisters in Christ. He appeals to them as fellow members of the church. He even appeals to them at the very beginning of the letter as those sanctified in Christ Jesus. And we learn in the letter that although being sanctified in one sense fully, they're also being sanctified as well. And so keeping that in mind, we come to the end of this letter in chapter 16, and we see that Paul lays out his travel plans for the Corinthians. And we might wonder at first, why does he lay out his travel plans? Why is that important? What does it matter? But I think we see here that all of this itinerary that he gives to them does have a purpose, and it does have a common theme running through it. And that theme, stated in a couple ways, is that Paul loves the church of Christ, period. Paul loves the church, and he fits them into his plans for ministry by the way he travels. We see here this evening that his purpose in relaying these plans is to buffer his concern for the Corinthians by not only telling them that he loves them and that he is concerned for him, but by promising to visit them and so arranging his travel schedule to be with them again and maybe even spend the winter there, as we learn. And so Paul wants to be with these people. He wants the Holy Spirit to use him to minister to them again. Notice first, he designs these travel plans to make sure that he comes to the Corinthian church again. Verse 5, it says, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey. So Paul is going to Macedonia, but he wants to use that occasion to drop down to Corinth. And Corinth was pretty far south from Macedonia. It wasn't like just dropping by the gas station down here on the end of the road to meet a friend. This was very intentional. He had to travel a long distance in order to pass by the Corinthian church. So this language here of passing through kind of has certain connotations for us in our day. You know, we can pass by somebody's house on the way elsewhere because we drive in these cars. And one thing I've learned in Southern California is that people drive fast in their cars, and that if they want to pass through somewhere, they really can, because they'll drive 80 miles an hour anywhere they want to. And so it's quite quick to get around here in our day, but it wasn't such in Paul's day. Travel was very slow. And so for him to say that he wants to make it to Corinth, even though his plan is to go to Macedonia, is quite intentional. He wants to be with these people. And he wants to be with this people for the sake of ministry. He wants to spend more time with them. And I think that it's clear that throughout the letter, you know, there's these problems that he's trying to address from afar. And so he really wants to make it there so he can try to deal with them in person. It's all the easier to deal with things, I think, face-to-face than via letter, as you well might imagine. And so Paul wants to be with these people face-to-face. And I believe also that we see the purpose of Paul's travel plans. And here's where I want to focus in on. Notice he says that he wants to stay with them, perhaps even spend the winter there, so that, the text says, you may help me on my journey wherever I go. And I want to submit to you this, that the church is necessarily mobile in this life. But because the church is mobile and because people are coming and going, whether it's pastoral interns like myself, whether it's just congregants who move to the area, whether it's pastors who come down for presbytery meetings like what happened a few months ago, these people that are traveling in the church, both in Paul's day and in our day, provide the church with an opportunity for hospitality. and an opportunity to share in their ministry. That's what Paul says. He wants to come down so that they can help him and that they can share in his ministry. And so I believe that this is a real rich theme that arises from this text. Paul knows that there is a blessing in helping him on his journey, you see. For in doing so, the Corinthians are providing for his ministry, and thus they're partaking themselves in the work of the ministry, in the work of Christ, by aiding Paul and showing him hospitality. And we see this elsewhere in the Pauline epistles, not just here in 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about the hospitality of the saints and how when the saints are showing hospitality to those in ministry, those who travel, the fruit that is had by those ministers is actually credited to their account. We see this, for instance, in Philippians chapter 4. If you want to turn with me there, why don't we go look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. And Paul makes this explicit statement about how hospitality is credited to the account of those who practice it. Look in verse 14, and we'll read down to the end of that paragraph. Paul says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." Then notice these verses. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." Then notice the images that he uses for those gifts. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable to God. He doesn't talk about himself. He wants the Philippians there to know that what they're doing in helping him and giving to him is they're actually giving a sacrifice acceptable to God in aiding him. Paul says that the Philippians share in his ministry. At the practical level of financial support, yes, but it even goes deeper than that. There's a spiritual level in which they share in, because the fruit that is birthed in Paul's ministry, Paul says, is credited to their account. And so we notice the language that Paul uses in talking about the giving ministry of the Philippians. He says their gift, and notice the language giving and receiving, even the receiving of their gift is the fruit that increases to their account. You know, and in the rest of the passage, Paul uses those wonderful images that the gift and the receiving of the gift is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable to God. And it's here where I want to hang out for a bit this evening, because you, as Harvest OPC, very much have resembled such hospitality to Rebecca and I, what we see in these letters. You have shown us great hospitality, and you have a special ministry in that. We were just up at the Enos's this weekend. We're staying with them until we leave, and I believe it was Ruth asked Rebecca and I, you know, what's one thing that you've learned by being at Harvest OPC? And the first thing that came to both of our minds is hospitality. We've really been blessed by your ministry to us in that area, and we've really learned a lot about hospitality. The intentionality of it. You have to be really intentional. You have to want to do it. You have to plan for it. There's a lot that we've learned about hospitality from you all at Harvest. And I also want to encourage you with this, that you at Harvest OPC have a very special ministry, being in this location close to Westminster Seminary, California, where there's a lot of people traveling. There's a lot of people involved in ministry traveling through, namely seminary students. And you have opportunities that other churches do not have. and being able to ministry and to minister to the seminary students that come through these doors. That's something that churches don't have. The church that we are headed to in Omaha, Nebraska would envy what you have. They have never had a seminary student in their midst. Only the pastor that has been called is one with seminary training. No one else comes through. There's not a seminary within hour's drive of that church. I believe the closest one might be either in Kansas City or St. Louis. Seminaries are far away. They don't have that ministry. They don't have seminary students passing through their doors like you do here. And so I want to encourage you, you have a very special ministry to seminary students, including Rebecca and I. Seminary students typically have come from far away. They leave their families and they leave their church homes to come and be trained for ministry. And so when they come to the area, they're really looking for, you know, a church home. And they're looking for fellowship. And they're looking for encouragement. And so you all have the opportunity to provide that to the seminary students. I don't see them here this evening, but I just think of Gary and Rebecca Rhodes. They've come from Wisconsin, far, far away. We've talked with them a little bit about Southern California, and we've really gotten to connect a little bit about all the adjustments you have to make to move out here, and there's a great number of them. And so having a good, solid church is an amazing blessing. Just this past week, we were sharing that with Gary and Rebecca, and they too wanted to just express it, how thankful they are to have come to Harvest. And so all the traveling that goes on in the church gives opportunity for the church to practice hospitality and to partake in the work of ministry by helping those who minister. And I'm reminded here of a few conversations I've had with some of you throughout the years here, just these past 2 years we've been here, about how Harvest OPC isn't just in these walls, but it really extends beyond these walls, precisely because of what Paul is saying here, that the ministry that he's shown in turn equips him to go and do ministry elsewhere, and then that ministry he does, guess what, is credited to the church's account that helps him. And I think I had one good conversation with Tammy, who recounted just all the interns that have come through here and where they're at now, and just how wherever they've gone, they've taken some Harvest OPC DNA with them. And the fruit that they have in their ministries is credited to your account. I truly believe that, and I truly believe that it won't be until the last day when you'll see the harvest that you'll really be astounded by what the Lord does to the people that come through here when they travel. You know, I just think of Ken Montgomery and Eric Watkins and Lane Tipton, to name a few that I've had contact with. And, you know, they're ministering elsewhere in different capacities. But they were here, and you ministered to them, and now they're ministering to others all over the country and all over the world. And that's Harvest OPC fruit out there, as well as other churches' fruit, wherever they've gone and been ministered to. They take that with them. So I wanted to encourage you all and thank you all for the ministry that you've had to us and to all the seminary students in the past. Notice, too, how Paul states that Timothy is coming to Corinth and that he doesn't want Timothy to be treated poorly. Verse 10 says, "When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am." And putting him at ease really has this connotation of don't give him a lot of guff. Make his time enjoyable there, for he is doing the work of the ministry. And so I want to encourage you with this, that not only have you ministered to us and the interns and the pastors that have come through in the past, but you can also have a ministry to those who are coming in the future. I think of Frank Liu and his family coming here in the fall. Frank Liu is going to be a year-long intern here at Harvest. They're traveling a great distance, coming from the east coast of the United States, 3,000 miles, all the way to Southern California to be with you and to minister in your midst. And they're leaving family, and they're leaving their safe confines there, their familiar confines, and coming out here. And you all have an opportunity to just reach out to them and to show them hospitality and to love them and to encourage them in their work, and especially Frank in his ministry. You know, he's a seminary graduate like I am, and, you know, we get out of seminary, and you, you know, you're not sure about where all the Lord wants to take you and what he wants to do with you, and so encouragement is a great blessing in a new seminarian's life. And so Frank Liu and his family are coming. Great opportunity for hospitality. That's what Paul is showing us in these texts. He's traveling all over the place. Timothy's traveling all over the place. Titus, and he's saying, guess what? You're not left out of that. It's not that those who travel are getting all these special privileges or special fruits. He's saying that your part in all of that is the hospitality you show those who come through, and by doing that, you share in their ministry. And not just Frank Liu, but again, I think of Gary and Rebecca Rhodes. I think of Nick and Laura Lazareski, who are going to be back here in the fall, not only now as a new couple, but a new seminary student. It's a very, it's a very impressionable time to be in seminary. I can speak just from my experience and the experience of my friends, but being at seminary, you're very impressionable, and thus you are looking for mentors, you're looking for leaders and those to disciple you as you want to get trained for ministry. And by that, I don't mean professors necessarily. They have those at the seminary, and they're good ones, but they're also looking for godly men and godly women in the local church to do one-on-one discipling and to do, Titus 2 discipling, inviting them into your homes and sharing your family with them and opening up your house to them and opening up your life experience with them. So there is much opportunity in our day because the church is mobile and there are many who travel and many who come and who go. And it's all the more opportunity for you to partake in the work of Christ through them. I'm using the word ministry in the broad sense. There is a very narrow definition of the preaching of the word and sacraments, but there's also a broad definition of the ministry of the church, and that includes all those who are part of the body of Christ. And this also, I don't want to just make this exclusive to pastoral interns. There are many in our midst at Harvest OPC who might be moving soon and who might move here soon. And it's also a great opportunity to show hospitality to them. I was very encouraged this morning. A deacon told me that there was an anonymous check in the offering this morning for $1,000. For those who do not have employment in our church. And what a great thing that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is moving in your midst, and he's leading people to such good works as that, helping those who don't have work. And, you know, it's not just, I don't want it to sound like, you know, you have to give money to help with those people that aren't employed. There's so many ways to help, as I was reminded this week. We're moving. And I was amazed at the turnout of those who helped us move. Carrying a box can lead to fruit credited to your account, as well as providing meals for the Garrisies soon. That's the work of the ministry of the church that I'm talking about. And I think Paul is wanting to make clear that it has a very important role. So, that's what makes it difficult for us to leave, because we've been shown such good hospitality. And yet we want to encourage you that where we go and where we minister, we take a little piece of harvest with us and the fruit that God causes through us is credited to your account. And so we think to ourselves, why does it have to be this way? Why do we have to move here and there? Why is the church so mobile? Why can't we just stick around? And I believe that the scriptures teach us that the church is necessarily this way now. Like I said at the beginning, because the church is on mission. The church now in our day is the church militant. It is a pilgrim people. We are pilgrims on our way to our heavenly home. And so we change homes often in this life because we know that this earth now is not our home. The church is mobile precisely because the earth is not our home. We're on our way to our permanent home. This isn't our permanent home here. And so our mission now causes us to be mobile until all of God's elect are gathered in. And so now in this life, we're privileged to join in Christ's sufferings here and now, being taken from family perhaps, taken from places we love. But as Christians, we're called to do this in order to fulfill our callings in Christ Jesus and to glorify His great name in this life. And then we know in the next life, we are led to our eternal home. And this is why farewells and greetings in the New Testament and farewells and greetings amongst us here at the local church ought to have a little bit of a different ring to it than those who do not have the hope that we have. The hope we have that we are on our way to our heavenly home should cause us to have a little bit of a different slant on hellos and goodbyes. You know, that's not to say that parting ways is not sad. It is. Will there be tears? Yes, there will be. Will it be somber? Yes, perhaps. But hopeful? Yes, it will be hopeful. And I think that Christians are the only ones that can give that answer, that can answer yes to that in a deep and meaningful way. Our goodbyes are hopeful because we know that we'll be reunited again. And when we are reunited, it'll be forever. The call to worship came from Revelation 7. And you get that wonderful image of the entire church from every tribe, tongue, and nation gathered together forever giving praise to our God and joining together in glorifying His name forever in one place. And so, yes, our goodbyes are hopeful because we will be united again. We know that. Even though we may not see each other again in this life, we will forever see each other in the life that is to come. And then without sin. And then in the presence of Christ. Our goodbyes are also hopeful, as Paul's goodbyes are hopeful, because we part ways with thanksgiving. And that's something that perhaps the world does not know. We part ways with great thanksgiving because of the time that we have had. We realize that the time we have in fellowship with one another is a blessing. It's not something that we're entitled to. At the beginning of the letter of Corinthians, Paul gives great thanks for that church. And he does so in almost all of his other letters. He gives thanksgiving at the beginning, he gives thanksgiving at the end, because he knows he was blessed to be able to spend time with the saints. And so our goodbyes are hopeful because we can be thankful for the time we have had and thankful for the time that we'll have to come. So it may be a bitter time, it may be sad, but it's also a sweet time. It's a bitter, sweet time. It's a time to reflect on all that God has done here and all that He will do in the future. We do not say goodbye the way the pagans do. And again, I'm not just talking about Rebecca and I. I'm talking about those who have left in the past year, those who may leave this year, and those who may come in the next year. We're always saying hello and goodbye. I just think back to the past 2 years, all the different people that we've seen here come and go for various reasons. And it causes us to be grateful and thankful for the time that we do have and thankful for the time we'll have together in the future. For in the future we'll be together in one body, together worshiping our Savior who died for every single one of us. And so that's our great hope this evening. And so I want to leave you with a final exhortation. And for that, let us turn over to that passage now in Galatians 6. Just those two verses, 9 and 10. And they express what I want to exhort you with. Do not grow weary in the well-doing that you have shown to those who have come before us and those who will come after us. Don't grow weary in your well-doing, Harvest OPC. Continue and be steadfast and grow in grace. Grow in your hospitality. Grow in your kindness and gentleness and in the fruits of the Spirit. For notice verse 9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And like I said earlier, there's coming a time where everything you've sown as a church, whether it be to interns, whether it be to other congregants passing through, presbyters down for presbytery, whomever you've shown hospitality to, in due season, that harvest will be reaped. And God will get all the glory for it, because all your hospitality is Christ in you and Christ working through you. And so I want to exhort you with that. You've had a wonderful ministry to us. And my hope and prayer this evening is that you will not grow weary in your well-doing to those who pass through, to those who travel. That's Paul's hope, for Paul was traveling all over. In Corinthians, he's traveling. In Galatians, he's traveling. He's going, going, going. And he wants the churches to not give up in their well-doing and in showing hospitality and in providing for the ministry of the apostles. And so, know this evening that your good works are not done to please men, but you do them to please God and to give him a fragrant offering, as we read in Philippians, and to give God an acceptable sacrifice. They're sacrifices to him. You work unto him, not to please men. And, you know, Rebecca and I have really experienced that here. You know, when we've experienced your hospitality, we don't get the sense that you're doing it out of obligation, but you have a genuine interest in those who come in these doors, because of the genuine interest that Christ has for you as sinners. You show that to others. Continue in that. And I want you to know that, you know, offering a fragrant offering, it's not always flashy. It's not always the big things, but it's the little things. A fragrant offering looks like meals being given to those who are having a child. A fragrant offering looks like vacuuming the apartment of those who are moving out. It looks like inviting people over regularly on the Lord's Day to fellowship over a meal. Fragrant offering looks like taking genuine interest in one another, ministering to orphans and widows, those estranged, those marginal people that come in the doors. So, Harvest, press on and continue in that good work. And strive always not to just love in deeds and in words, but also to love in spirit and in truth. Press on in sanctifying the inner man and the inner disposition of the heart as well, because of what Christ has done for you. So thinking back to the letter to the Corinthians, that letter starts by assuring the Corinthians that they are the church of God in Corinth. They are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They're called to be saints together, the text says, with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the way to not grow weary in your well-doing and to persevere in good works. You must remain humble and grounded by the facts and truths of the gospel. You and I are people who should have been shown wrath. We should have been shown the righteous anger of God. The Corinthians should have, and so should we. But instead, God instead revealed hospitality to sinners Instead, he showed kindness and gentleness and mercy and generosity. We see that in the letter to Corinthians all over the place. Egregious sins and sinners. Yet Paul was quick to call them who they were. They were the church. They were saints. They needed hospitality and generosity. And so Christ turned aside God's wrath from us by living and dying for us. And thus, when we wake each day and remind ourselves of these truths of the gospel, we can be motivated to live lives that accord with that gospel and to show good works and to not grow weary in well-doing. For we know that Christ has died for us and He's lived for us and His righteousness is imputed to us. And that's why we can continue to persevere. The Holy Spirit aids us in our perseverance by always bringing us back to Christ and what He has done. So, although it's a bittersweet time for us this evening, it isn't without great joy as well. We go to minister in a church that is like you in many ways. It's the body and bride of Christ. They are wonderful saints there. And like Paul, a door has been opened for me to go and minister there. And there's many that need to be ministered to there in every place, and even in Omaha, Nebraska. And so I go there for that reason. And we do hope to visit you. We don't know where we're going to be in a year, but we hope to visit back. Right now we have plans to hopefully visit in January. Get out of the cold Nebraska winter and come here for a week and see you all then. But regardless, we know that when the end of days comes upon us, we'll be united then. Never to be separated from one another. And when God's elect are drawn in and when the harvest is reaped, we'll be together again. It's a glorious sight to see a full harvest. You can learn something about gospel ministry by watching corn grow. And that is that full harvests are a wonderful sight. And when farmers go out to collect that harvest, it's a beautiful thing. It's lush. It's, exactly what the farmer sowed. He worked hours and hours and days and days on that crop. And then it comes into its full bloom. And it's a beautiful thing. And that will happen at the last day. So I speak for Rebecca and I here in saying thank you, brothers and sisters, for showing us hospitality. And you'll be in our prayers, and please continue the ministry that God has given you right here in San Marcos, and know that your ministry extends far beyond these walls. It extends to all those whom you've shown mercy to. And so I'll end this letter the way that Paul ends his letter to the Corinthians by saying, our love is with you, and may you be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ in the years to come. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, how kind you are to us. Sinners needing and deserving your wrath, yet you revealed your Son. And Father, we just are humbled by that this evening, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that applies the work of Christ to us and enables us to do good works as fragrant offerings unto your great name, knowing that all the glory goes to you and that all the good works that are done in Christ are because of Christ and because of your Spirit working in us. So, Father, we pray that you would truly receive all the glory this evening for what you've done and that your name would be lifted high. And, Father, we thank you for calling us as a church, and we thank you for the hope that we have, that the last day we will end our time here as pilgrims and we'll be glorified together in Christ, and we'll be united forever in that new Jerusalem. We'll have one city, we'll have one address. We'll no longer have to move, but we will be together in the same place, away from sin. And Father, sanctify us then now by your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.